Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said falling down doesn't make you a failure, but staying down does. We're happy to have the privilege of Bible study today, and we're glad you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. We're always glad to be able to look into the Word of God, and we invite you to look with us as we think about those things that are taught by God in His Word. All right, let's return now to our study, and we're looking at what does the Bible say about the matter of faith healing. There are a number of people today who claim that they are able, by the power of God, to perform miracles. They tell us that the miraculous is going on about us every day. And really, many times, when they start telling us about what they call the miraculous, they're just talking about natural law. They tell us, well, a baby is born, and that's a miracle. No, that's not a miracle. That's natural law. A miracle is the intervention of a higher law, a greater law, and that law, of course, supersedes what natural law says. It's not natural law for a person who's died to be raised from the dead. But a spiritual intervention is what we're talking about. Is it true that God has the power to do that? And, of course, no one would question that. But does God then use that power in our present day? Well, it's my affirmation, and I believe the Bible backs that up, that miracles like that are not performed today, but rather that the person who claims to be performing miracles of that nature needs to be able to demonstrate that that is indeed the case. Well, when we start applying the Bible, here's what happens. Somebody says, well, here's a person who's been healed. Well, that's testimony. Can we trust the testimony that is given along that line? We indicated to you that sometimes people can give you a long list of testimonials. But does the Bible say that is really what the question is? We can't have a demonstration. There's nobody who's going to step in and raise somebody from the dead in our presence to convince us that the miraculous is being done. And it wouldn't be tempting God at all for a person to do that if they had the power to. But that power is not given to man. Well, as we look at the matter of the miraculous, let me point out to you the fact that there was a purpose in miraculous healing. What was the purpose and what was behind it? Was it simply to relieve human suffering? I hear people say, God doesn't want you to be sick. God doesn't want you to have hearing problems. God doesn't want you to see, in a way other than the best way possible. And so God heals so that he might relieve suffering. Well, think about that for a minute. If that's the case, why then is there suffering? Why does God not just heal everyone and take care of that? I remember reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul making this observation. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed to God about it, and in praying to God three times, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if it's true that the purpose is to relieve human suffering, why wasn't Paul healed? That wasn't the purpose of miracles, obviously. Here's another one. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. Paul says, Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Now, if the purpose is simply that of relieving human suffering, why didn't Paul heal Trophimus? That wasn't the purpose of the miraculous. If you want to know why miracles were performed, well, the answer is in that the miracles helped to produce faith on the part of those who were observing what was being done. Jesus could perform a miracle and people would believe that he was the Christ because of the miracles he performed. The apostles were able to perform miracles and people would listen to them because of the miraculous. It was not just the relieving of human suffering. Certainly that took place in the healings, sometimes that were performed in the Word of God. But that was not the purpose behind it. Mark it down. The reason miracles were performed was in order to produce faith on the part of those who observed it. In the second chapter of the Hebrew letter, you have a passage like this, beginning with verse 1. The passage says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" That is, the miracles, the people who were able to perform miracles, became the backup. They became the evidence that we listen to, and that produces faith. Well, somebody says, "Preacher, if someone will show me a miracle, then I'll be a believer." I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read you a miracle. That's what the Bible's for. The Bible tells of miracles that will produce faith even today. And so I don't need to perform a miracle to make you a believer in Christ. All I need to do is to read the miracle recorded in the Word of God. Well, does the Bible teach that Jesus will always be performing miracles? A few years ago, there was a group in East Liverpool who took out an ad in the paper, a half-page ad, and they used Hebrews 13 and verse 8, and they said, the passage says, "Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever." The argument then went this way. If Jesus performed miracles in the past, then he's still performing miracles today. Well, they just didn't think about that enough, because if that's the case, look what happens. If the fact that Jesus performed miracles in the past means that miracles are still being performed today, notice the passage says forever. Do you mean to tell me there are going to be people in heaven who need the healings, the miraculous? Obviously, that's not the case. So the passage cannot mean Jesus healed yesterday, so he heals today, or it would mean he also is healing in heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. We'll continue our study tomorrow. We hope you'll be listening. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.